Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I didn't plan on talking about this, but I want to talk about it anyway. Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thanks so much for listening to The Drive. You know all that stuff. Rob, you hate running backs with an insane amount of passion. I was thinking this because we were just talking about Le'Veon Bell. I don't really know how he got on the Le'Veon Bell, but we were talking about Le'Veon Bell and how he could potentially be out of the league at age 29. 4 years ago, Le'Veon Bell was arguably the best running back in the league. Certainly in the conversation, best running back in the league. So I went back to look this up. Because if you look up wide receivers, it's a lot of the same names that you would know. Like Julio Jones was the second best receiver yardage-wise back in 2017. Adam Thielen, Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, Brandon Cooks. Like guys that are still productive players in the league, right? If you go back to 2017, none of these guys are good anymore. Very few of them are even on the same team that they were 4 years later. So these were the top 10 rushers back in 2017. So that's 4 years ago.
I'm pretty giddy about this topic, by the way. I'm not going to lie to you. We're gonna dunk on running backs. I'm so excited.
Kareem Hunt, not on the team that drafted him. Todd Gurley, done. Le'Veon Bell, done. McCoy, done. Mark Ingram. Are we counting Mark Ingram as done?
Yes, Mark Ingram is done. Okay. Do you know, did the average fan know where Mark Ingram's playing this upcoming season?
No, so that's done. Okay.
That's done.
That's fair. All right, so this is 2017. They had the most rushing yards. Kareem Hunt, not done, but not on the same team. Obviously, we know the reasons why.
Backup, by the way, too. He's not even a starter.
I don't want to call him a backup because to me, that's like discredited.
He's RB2.
He's still one of the top running backs in the league. Todd Gurley, done. Todd Gurley's done. He is 27 years old and done. Le'Veon Bell, done. McCoy, done. Mark Ingram, done. Jordan Howard, is he even in the league?
I think he's on the Dolphins still.
I thought he played for the Eagles, but I could be wrong. Jordan Howard's 20. He was 23 years old, so he's now 27 years old. Supposed to be entering your prime. Jordan Howard, done. Melvin Gordon, no longer on the same team.
Yeah, same as Kareem Hunt. I don't think he's done, but he's done-ish.
Leonard Fournette, backup running back now at this point in his career. He was 8th in the NFL. C.J. Anderson, out of the league 4 years later. Ezekiel Elliott, he was 10th this year in rushing yards. Alex Collins.
Done.
Frank Gore.
Still in the league.
Carlos Hyde. Deion Lewis. Marshawn Lynch. That's the top 15. So I looked this up. Out of the top 25 running backs in 2017, only two are on the same team that they were on in 2017. Only two. Derrick Henry and Ezekiel Elliott. No other running back in the top 25 is still on the same team 4 years later. That's not the same at any other position that we talk about. Maybe that goes to your, like, they're interchangeable and somewhat replaceable. And I still push back. Like, if you can get a good one, special on a rookie contract, I would do it. My issue maybe isn't the same as yours. And I would draft a running back in the first round. I wouldn't spend a top 15 pick on a running back. But if I'm 27th and I get a running back on a 4-year, $10 million deal, and I'm not going to bring him back for that second contract, I'd be in it. I think we got to start talking about running back primes just differently. Like, your running back prime is really like 22 and 23. It ain't 27 or 28 anymore. By 27 or 28, you're done. Like, Le'Veon Bell's 28. It's over. Todd Gurley's 27. It's over. Jordan Howard. It's over. Melvin Gordon. Over. Leonard Fournette. Over. Like, Every other position, your prime's like 30 to 30, 32 is when we start to see the decline. Your decline as a running back starts at like age 26. Like you're over at 26 years old. And if you are still productive past 26, you are an anomaly. You are not the norm.
So what you're describing is why I would never draft running back in the first round. Let's say you draft running back in the first round. The whole advantage is you get a fifth-year option on that player. 5 years, a rookie deal. You just said at 26, you're done. If you draft a junior from college, he's 21, 22, by the end of his fourth year of his deal, before you even hit that luxury special fifth year, he's done, it's over, time to move on. So the whole advantage of a first-round pick is that fifth-year option. And we just heard it running back. They don't make it to year five, because by 26, 27, they're done. So why use that valuable commodity, year five of a running back under rookie control? Why would you use that commodity on someone who's burnt out, done, and out of the league by the time you can use it? That's why you never draft him in the first round. Never, ever, ever. Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be in this group one day. I'm telling you that because that's how it works. 26, 27, they're done. That's year four or five in the NFL, and that's why you don't waste first-round picks on running backs. Looking at you, Pittsburgh.
I actually really like the Najee Harris draft pick. I'm not going to lie to you. I really like it. I think it's a good pick. Someone said, bruh, Le'Veon Bell is only 28. I thought he was at least 32. No. Le'Veon Bell is 28 years old. Todd Gurley's 27. Think about that. Todd Gurley was arguably the best running back in the league. Patrick Mahomes' second season. By Patrick Mahomes' start of his fifth season, Todd Gurley's done. Would any of you want Todd Gurley? He's a free agent right now. You can take Todd Gurley right now. You remember Chiefs and Rams game, Todd Gurley was the best running back in the NFL Mahomes' first year as a starter. Now Mahomes' fourth year as a starter, that's not a guy you would want to pick up in free agency. That running back position is a monster. The turnover is insane. The fact that C.J. Anderson was a top 10 running back in the league in 2017 is just nuts now that I'm thinking back to it. Absolutely nuts. I don't know how he got off on that tangent, but it was fun. I really enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoyed it too.
I'm just happy we got to dunk on running backs.
I didn't dunk on them.
It's a passion project.
I didn't dunk on running backs there.
You just described it without saying dunking on them. You can call whatever you like. That's what we did.
I was just surprised that even going back 4 years ago, out of the top 25 guys in rushing, only two of them are still on the same team. That's not the case at quarterback, not the case at wide receiver. I assume at sacks is probably not the exact same. It's just at running back, the turnover is just so high. Maybe to your point, and we can move on from this, I do think people look at drafting a player in the first round is, are we going to have this guy on our team for the next 10 years? It's not realistic to think that you're going to have your running back for 10 years. Sure, we can find examples. McCoy is an example of a running back who is really productive for 10 years. You got to be thinking, can your running back be good for the most six? I would say in today's NFL, you're probably not getting six great years out of a running back. At least that's not really what the numbers suggest you're going to get. So can you get a really good 6 years? If you get a really good 6 years, you should be happy. And that goes to my point. I don't have an issue with you drafting Najee Harris in round one. Because you're going to get, the numbers suggest, you're going to get Najee Harris's best years while he's on a rookie deal. If you sign that player to a second deal, you're a fool, and you are throwing money away. That is a terrible contract for your team to sign. There's no way that that player can live up to that second contract. Think of the guys who have just signed those deals, most recent deals. Ezekiel Elliott, not a top 10 running back in the league right now. You cannot say he's a top 10 running back based on what we've seen. And then Christian McCaffrey signed that deal and instantly got hurt. Signing a second contract, great for the player, and I'm all for it. Get paid, young man, get paid. It is not good for the team. There are not many examples of a team giving a running back a second deal and that deal being good. We can find a lot of examples of the first contract working. There ain't that many for the second deal. Rob, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City, my man.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Somebody said, Rob, there's no wonder you never win your fantasy league. You got to have the running backs in the first three rounds.
Fantasy and real football are so different. Block that person.
Okay, my bad. You got blocked by Rob. I didn't have anything to do with it. I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't there.
That's his
slander. Somebody said, how would you explain Frank Gore? He's not a human being. He's one of the aliens. you guys remember in Men in Black 2 where they went to that hub and they showed us like all the people that were living among us that were aliens and Will Smith saw as like fifth grade teacher? That's Frank Gore.
Well, the biggest story in Kansas City involves actually the Denver Broncos, as former Denver cornerback Kareem Jackson went on Aqib Talib's podcast and said this about potentially adding Deshaun Watson to the fold in Denver.
Yeah, I got a great relationship with Deshaun. I've been talking to him the last couple of weeks, man, and like all he's been telling me is like, look, Jack, just tell him like that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. I'm like, man,
you see the setup, the line straight. He see the setup.
He like, man, listen, that's why I want to be in Denver. And during the time while I was going through, you know, my little free agency thing and I end up signing back here, before I signed, he called. He was like, man, are you going to sign? I was like, I don't know. I ain't sure yet. He was like, well, you know, let me know what you're going to do, whatever, whatever. And I signed back. He's like, listen, man, tell him that I want to be in Denver.
Let's put aside the fact that Deshaun Watson wants to be in Denver because both believe because of his legal issues, he's not going anywhere.
But really quickly, though, that's the story. What's the path that gets him to Denver? If I'm Houston, I'm not interested in trading Deshaun Watson now because why would I give you top dollar for Deshaun Watson right now? If you're any team in the league, why would I give you top dollar for Deshaun Watson without having a clear picture of what the next 6 months of his life looks like? Are we sure that he's even going to be eligible to play week one of the NFL season? Week four, week five of the NFL season? Week nine of the NFL season? So why would I trade? Why would I do this? This doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense for you to do this. So there's no, it's not happening. It's not happening. Deshaun, you could tell John Elway. Tell Drew Locke you want to be. It doesn't matter. You want to know where you're going to be working this year? Houston. You might be playing for the Mean Machine. That's what you might be playing for this year. If we're keeping it completely honest, you might be playing for them. Focus on your freedom, not football.
Two.
Well, the biggest story in Kansas City involves the Broncos yet again, as former Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning was announced.
It's a lot of Broncos love here.
Broncos. Well, he would go into the Ring of Honor. Now, putting aside the fact that a four-year starter going in the Ring of Honor is all of sorts of lame and Denver deserves to have all that nonsense go on, my question to you is this. Do you believe Patrick Mahomes in his 3 years as a starter has already surpassed what Manning did for 4 years in Denver?
Rob, cut the beat. We got to have a little finesse with the fade.
Oh, you said cut. You didn't say fade.
Okay,
come on now.
Right, you're right. I'm wrong here. I'm wrong.
I'm doing what I'm told back here.
Peyton Manning played 4 years in Denver. He had 140 touchdowns and 53 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes has been the starter for 3 years in Kansas City. He has 114 touchdowns and 23 interceptions. I feel pretty confident in Patrick Mahomes' ability to throw at least 26 touchdowns this year and fewer than 30 interceptions. I don't know about you guys, but I feel pretty confident that Mahomes is going to have more touchdowns than Peyton Manning had and substantially fewer interceptions than Peyton did. Peyton Manning won the AFC West every year that he was in Denver. The Chiefs are dominating this division as we currently stand. Patrick Mahomes went to a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl. Well, you look at that. So did Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning lost a Super Bowl in pretty embarrassing fashion. Well, what do you know? So did Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, and lose a Super Bowl in a somewhat embarrassing fashion. You know that Spider-Man meme where the two Spider-Mans are pointing and looking at each other? Patrick Mahomes' time in Kansas City so far is the equivalent of what Peyton Manning did in Denver for the Broncos. But the beauty of it is Mahomes is going to do this in theory for like another 12 to 15 years. And the Peyton thing was really 3.5 seasons. Peyton was amazing the first 3 years for the Denver Broncos, just like Mahomes is. And then that fourth year, it was bad. It was real bad. that's going to be very different. But as dominant as Peyton was, and we felt like we were seeing quarterbacking played at the incredibly high level and maybe the highest level we'd ever seen, that's what Patrick Mahomes is doing right now. It has come full circle. One would call that the circle of life, Rob.
Three.
Well, according to reports, Alex Smith, former Chiefs quarterback, will be considered to replace Rich Gannon on the CBS NFL crew. Now, the CBS NFL crews need an overhauling. We need less Jay Feely and more smart people. But at that, putting that point aside.
Yo, what do you have? You got beef with Jay Feely?
He's horrible on the air.
Jay Feely's just catching random strays?
What is he
Jay
good?
Feely do?
Is he good? No.
No, he's bad.
He makes Boog look great.
Jay Feely's bad.
Jay Feely is in that Jason Witten category. My question to you is this.
I actually think that Booger is better than Jay Feely. Witten too. Witten, this is the thing with Witten, though. This is the thing with Witten. I'll always defend Witten when it comes to this. Witten just got hired for a job that he wasn't anywhere qualified for. Like, I'm not saying, like, let's say you get your start off in radio, right? I'm not saying eventually you can't make it to New York. Just few people start in New York. You got to start in, like, El Paso, Texas, and then you work your way up. Witten's first media job was Monday Night Football. He should have been hosting with Pam Ward 11 a.m. Maryland Rutgers football games on ESPN right after College Game Day. If Witten had done that and got a couple years of seasoning, Witten would be possibly great. But no, you threw him into the deep end of the pool day one, and he couldn't swim.
I totally agree.
Or doggy paddle.
He threw, just drowned. My question to you is this, though.
He was real bad.
Real bad. Would former Chiefs quarterback Alex Smith be good in the booth?
Is he going to give us a little bit of personality? That's what I want to know. I think in terms of understanding the game, being able to communicate what he sees, I think that Alex Smith is going to be great. Is Alex going to be able to inject any personality or life into the broadcast? Because we heard his media interviews. That's not really what he did. That's what I want to know. Like, Romo, now I think some of it's kind of cheesy and sticky to some extent, but Romo has a clear personality that you either like or dislike. Like, nobody's neutral on Romo. You either really like his act and think that he's really knowledgeable, or just doesn't work. So if Alex can do that, then I think he'll be fantastic. Like, I think he has all the football stuff down. Does he have the personality stuff down in order to hold your attention for 3 hours? We'll see.
Four.
Our fourth of the day comes from last night in the NBA, where the Utah Jazz beat the Los Angeles Clippers, and Jazz star Donovan Mitchell saw it coming.
They play game 7 2 days ago. It's all how we start this quarter. They'll call it quits and get ready for game 2 if we make them. Let's get ready for that. Shots fall, shots don't fall. Keep being the monster.
Now, I know you hate Paul George because he's super-duper unclutch and calls himself Playoff P and all these things why you hate him. So my question to you is this. In all of sports, maybe the answer is Paul George. Is there a player that you deem just to be super-duper unclutch?
I hate Paul George. I really do. I really don't like Paul George. I don't know why. I don't know when it really started. But I really, really hate him. Like, genuinely don't like Paul George. I think he is the most unclutch player I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't want him anywhere around me. I don't want him anywhere around my team. And I'm really upset at you for bringing it up. Coming up in a little bit. So we are doing this summer exercise because you might know there's a shortage of sports things to talk about. And you guys hate the NBA. So I am watching 80s movies that I have never seen before. So I watched Top Gun for the first time this morning. I didn't really know anything about it other than Maverick and Goose. That's all I knew about the movie. So I went into it a rookie. Pure. I will give you my raw opinion of Top Gun coming up in just a little bit. But before we do that, let's talk about the Chiefs cornerback group and who their top gun is. Ooh, you see how I did that, Rob? That's why I get paid the big bucks here. So Matt Verderam was on the show. He said this about Bashaud Breeland, and I can't be cornered out if we don't talk about the Chiefs cornerback situation. Come on now.
I don't think that same offer was there with Kansas City. I don't. Now, I think maybe you know, later in the summer it could have been. You know, let's just say, for an example, like if Tyrann Mathieu gets extended, the Chiefs are going to have a lot more cap space. So maybe if that happens, then maybe the Chiefs do make that deal for 1 year and $4 million. The other part of this is, I can tell you, they believe a lot in DeAndre Baker. You know, like when they got Mike Hughes in the trade from Minnesota a month ago, I think the expectation internally is, hey, look, we're kicking tires here. If he can play, he can play. That's great. If he comes here and he finds and made him a first-round pick, that's awesome. But we're not overly invested here. With Baker, they really, you know, before the leg injury, they expected that he was going to come in this year and compete right away for a starting job. Now, how much does that leg injury change things? It remains to be seen. But, you know, I could definitely see a scenario where the Chiefs are looking at this and thinking, we've got Baker, Ward, Fenton, and, of course, Lejarius Sneed, who's now your number one guy who gives you some versatility. I still think they would have been better off signing Breland. But I also understand where their point of thought is, and a lot of that's going to come down to how healthy is DeAndre Baker and how well does he play.
So that was Matt Verderam of FanSided earlier today when we're talking about Bashaud Breland and sort of where the Chiefs sit. We talked about how I think Lejarius Sneed is now turning into one of the five most important players on this defense. I don't think that their defense works if he's not what they project him to be. But I do think if you look at the Chiefs' actions, they're putting a lot of responsibility and the burden of the production from the secondary on either Mike Hughes or DeAndre Baker, who haven't really shown themselves to be guys that you can depend on for a prolonged period of time. Mike Hughes has never been a healthy, productive player in the NFL. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. He has started 7 NFL games in 3 seasons and got traded as a first-round pick for a 6th-round pick. The Minnesota Vikings gave up on him. They gave up on him. Before his year 5 option, they determined that's not a guy that we want to pay much more than his rookie deal. Let's get something out of this deal because it's not working. Now, we've talked to enough people that tell you, hey, if Hughes is healthy, then he can help you. But he also hasn't been a healthy player for a prolonged period of time. DeAndre Baker, is it fair to call him a bust with the Giants? Think it's fair to call him a bust. He then gets moved over to Kansas City. He was a healthy DMP for the first couple of weeks he was here. He didn't really get on the field until the Chiefs had completely clinched everything. When they were basically playing a preseason game in the regular season, that week 17 game against the Chargers, when nobody of importance played for the team, but you still got to field a roster. So DeAndre Baker went out there, he got hurt, and now we're expected for him to be back when it comes to training camp. I don't think they're signing a veteran corner now at this point of any impact. If you're at the point as a corner where you get released in August, it's over. That's not a position in which you're going to find a realistic upgrade for. There's not that many good corners in the league. So if you just get released outright and there's not any compensation involved for it, the team is determined you have nothing left in the tank. So maybe the Chiefs pick up somebody. It's not outside the realm of possibility. That could be an upgrade maybe over their current situation. But if they pick up somebody in August off a waiver wire cut or a training camp cut, and that player is able to come in and be this team's second or third corner, that ain't good. So this year, it's certainly an expectation on Sneed to step up and be a legitimate number one. You have a lot of confidence in Tyrann Mathieu. If you look at Pro Football Focus, he has been the best slot corner in the NFL the last 2 years. And they're counting on one of these two guys hitting at a high level, whether it's Mike Hughes or DeAndre Baker. I don't think it really matters to the Chiefs which one. I don't think it's realistic to think that both of those guys are going to work. That's just not really how the lottery works. And I would say both of those guys are lottery tickets to some extent. But they're counting on one of those two being a plus producer for this team. And then if Charvarius Ward is who he is, Rashad Fenton provides good value, Bo Peet Keys can develop and be in the rotation, I do think they can make it with corner. But Baker has to turn into something that he hasn't been in his NFL career. Same thing for Hughes. If those two things happen, or one of those two things happen, I do think they're going to be fine at the position. Coming up in a little bit, we'll wrap things up before we hand things off to Jay Binkley. And I am watching 80s movies for the first time. I started my quest yesterday with Top Gun. I'll tell you what I thought about it next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for the Dash for Cash. Your code word for the 5 o'clock hour is Theme. T-H-E-M-E, theme, T-H-E-M-E, theme. Text that to 72881, and you could be the $1,000 winner in the National Cash Contest. The National Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Win more in cash with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to learn more. That's BetQL. Theme, T-H-E-M-E, theme, T-H-E-M-E. We'll get to Top Gun coming up here in probably 2 minutes or so. So I just saw the pay-per-view numbers for Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul. And Floyd did not lie to you. Showtime estimate that they sold 1 million pay-per-view buys. So if you guys are curious to know how much money Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul had for that schmockery of an event, so if the estimation is right and Showtime is projecting that they did 1 million in buys, Floyd Mayweather will make $35 million for that fight. So at least the reports, Floyd got guaranteed $10 million to go in the ring and 50% of the pay-per-view money. Logan Paul got a guaranteed $250 to get in the ring and 10%. So based on those numbers, Floyd made $35 million to do the fight. Logan Paul's going to make at least $5 million. And Floyd said that he made $30 million in side sponsorships. Like he had that website on his belt, and then he had the OnlyFans hat, and then he had that Bet Online face mask. $60 million for what we saw is just... Well, I mean, he said it.
When it comes to legalized bank robbing, I'm the best. I changed my name from Pretty Boy Floyd. When I changed it to Money Mayweather, I started making money.
$65 million for a high-intensity cardio workout is just absolutely nuts. So I wanted to share that with you guys. 1 million pay-per-view buys. I actually thought I was going to do a little bit better, but I'm happy that the American public didn't completely buy into the schmockery, which was Floyd Mayweather fighting Logan Paul. I'll be curious to see what Jake does against Tyrone Woodley. I'm assuming it's going to do better than 1 million. I'm actually interested in that fight. I think it's going to be fun. All right, now, Rob, hit my music. Okay, guys. We've reached the dog days of summer. So you know what I've decided to do during these dog days? Rob has made a list of 15 80s movies that I have not seen before. And I told myself, you know what? I'm going to watch these movies. So we started it today. So I watched Top Gun this morning. It was on Showtime's app. It wasn't that long. So before I came into work today, I woke up a little bit earlier and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch Top Gun today. And I'm here to tell you Top Gun was a very entertaining movie. I will say this, Rob. I thought that there was going to be a little bit more action in Top Gun than there ended up being. I thought it was going to be a lot more explosions, a lot more missiles, a lot more boom. I didn't get that for the first hour of the movie. I went in a little bit disappointed the first hour of the movie because I'm like, hold on, you guys are just playing tag here. Like, whenever they would have the missile lock on there, I thought they were blowing planes up. I thought they were fighting other people. That's not what happened. The first hour was more about his relationship than it was about him actually blowing up these other planes. That's what I really wanted to see. But I didn't know that it was gearing up towards blowing up planes at the end. Another thing in the very beginning of the movie. They want me to think that Tom Cruise, who went in there with that cocaine white suit, walked into this bar and he talked to the girl who was dressed like a substitute teacher. I don't believe it. And then that girl just happened to be his superior. She just had a PhD in what? Astrophysics? How was the conflict of interest in their relationship? How did it never come up, Rob, the entire movie? You're telling me that Tom Cruise, Maverick, was dating this woman who was his superior? Is that what she is to him in this movie? It was never a conflict of interest. Nobody ever found out. She's openly hanging out with them in public. They never asked her to reassign herself. That part didn't seem very realistic to me.
That's fair. One thing I've learned as you mentioned that is that the librarian look and stalking that librarian look must have been the move in the 80s, because Tom Cruise sees the substitute teacher look, follows that woman in the bathroom. Not something you can do in 2021. Probably something you shouldn't have done then. Jake Taylor sees his girl. She's like the educated, smart, got the glasses girl. She stalks her.
Though. At least she was a librarian, though. But you are right.
That look.
That little white shirt with the sweater over it was the look back in the 80s. All the young gals was wearing it. All right. Now moving on. I started to actually really like the characters. I have a greater appreciation of Tom Cruise as an action movie hero after this. My only real frame of reference for him as an action hero was more modern stuff. Mission Impossible. What's that one he did? Minority Report. Those were kind of my Tom Cruise as an action hero. If your first introduction to Tom Cruise is in this movie, I get it. Nice looking guy, kind of tall, strapping, had all the charisma. I mean, he was a great character. I don't know who else. You know how when you do the rewatchables, they always tell you who else was cast to be certain people. There's no other person that could have pulled off Maverick the way that Tom Cruise did. Excellent casting. Goose was fun. You always need the straight guy, and then you need the funny guy on the other side. Goose was the right mix of comedic genius that I thought the movie needed. Until he was no longer in the movie. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I had absolutely no clue that Goose was going to die. No clue. I knew at some point something had to go wrong because that's how a movie works. But I thought something was going to happen with his relationship. Like, it was going too well in the beginning. I thought that she was going to leave or be critical of him, so that was going to, like, distract him or something. That's what I thought the plot twist was going to be. I had no clue that my dog was going to die in the way that he did. I was hurt. I realized instantly, too, he had died. When they showed him ejecting away his body, I was like, yo, is Goose okay? And then Tom Cruise is holding him in the water and he doesn't want to let him go and he's clearly crying. And then the Coast Guard guy comes by and says, you got to let him go, sir. And then they drag his body up and his body's just hanging there lifeless like a scarecrow. I'm not going to lie. It got me. How could they do Goose like that? How could they write Goose out of the movie that way? Those two were supposed to fly the friendly skies for the duration of the movie. That had to be the plot twist. They had to kill off my favorite character. I didn't like it. But then, I'm not going to lie to you, the movie really took a turn once Goose died. That was what I was waiting for. That's because at first I didn't see what you guys saw in this movie. And then after Goose died, I saw what you guys meant. The last 30 minutes were fantastic. From Goose dying to Maverick having the same issues that Cougar had at the very beginning of the movie. And then fast forward, he's in the exact same situation. He's going through bouts of self-doubt whenever he and his lady, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, they're having that conversation at the diner, and then she gets up and then she calls him by his government name. That stung me, Rob, to my core. She got up and said, "Well, you're already gone, I guess. Thanks, Paul Mitchell." And I was like, "No, that's Maverick. You gotta get your mojo back." But of course, he got his mojo back, and he saved the day. Val Kilmer's character is trash. Val Kilmer's character was only good in practice. He was a practice all-star. Back when there was no danger, Val Kilmer was a badass. And then when there were real bullets flying and real missiles coming at your dome, he froze up. I was so disappointed in Val Kilmer. There's a Jay-Z line about him. You know the type, loud as a motorbike, but wouldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight. That was Val Kilmer's character. I thought Val Kilmer's character was going to be elite. I thought they were going to have like some big showdown competition at the end, and he was going to prove I'm the best pilot in the world. But no, that's not what happened. He had to save whack Val Kilmer's character from being trash. My least favorite character in this movie was Val Kilmer's flunky. I don't know what his name was. Squirt or whatever. I don't know what his name was. He was trash. I hated his character. Hated him. Absolutely hated his character. I would give Top Gun an 8.5. I really enjoyed Top Gun. This was a good start to this series. I do have a couple of criticisms about the movie, though, other than the lack of action at the very beginning. This movie only had 3 songs. I got tired of Danger Zone. I did. I can't lie to you. I got tired of Danger Zone. They played Danger Zone for the first 5 minutes of the movie, and then it came back 4 more times. I couldn't do it. They had another song. I think you were playing it earlier. It was like a sad song. Couldn't do it. This song. No, couldn't
like
do it.
Every love scene. They're in the bar. They're at her house. And it's just, there's the pump up Danger Zone action song, and then there's this song. You gotta have your ebb and your flow, your yin and your yang.
Okay. Terrible. You know what? I'm really happy that we've started this, and we've started it with Top Gun. When I think of 80s movies, that's the movie that I think of. I do have one question, though. Why is the volleyball scene in the movie? The volleyball scene has no purpose in the movie. It's just very odd and random. It's like, yeah, we're fighting planes and we're trying to save all of you. Hold on, let's take this break for 2-on-2 volleyball. And they start playing volleyball just randomly out of nowhere, and they're doing these like slow motion high fives. What's the purpose of this? I don't know. I was just sitting there watching. I was confused why all of a sudden they were playing volleyball. Because he secured the date with the young lady, and then she says, "Don't be late." And he's late because he's playing 2-on-2 beach volleyball with his homeboys? That make no sense. Why is that in the movie?
I mean, slow-mo workouts are a pinnacle of the 80s movie. Think about all the Rocky movies. They all have this exact same montage in them. Slow-mo workout,
but
weirdly sweaty guys.
But training, all the slow motion, he's training for the fight. They don't do the montage until right before the fight. This was just like a random, hey, let's just have them play volleyball out of nowhere. I'm like, why? Why is this in the film? What's the purpose of this? How does it enhance the story? It doesn't enhance the story in any capacity.
Then it showed the friendliness between he and Goose.
We already knew that was Goose's homie. Yo, I'm being serious. Is Goose's wife Meg Ryan?
Yeah, it's Meg Ryan.
That's who Meg, because I don't know. I thought that was Meg Ryan, but I didn't know. She had some of the worst hair I had ever seen. Go back and look at it. I don't know if you remember or not. I remember because I just saw it earlier today. They didn't do her any justice with her hair. I know it was the 80s, but her hair looks terrible. Absolutely terrible. It looked. I'm giving Top Gun an 8.5. You know what? I really liked that movie. I'd watch that movie again. I'm now excited for the sequel. I get it. Some of you have said Top Gun's your favorite movie. I understand. I didn't understand before this. I understand now. And I would say it holds up still. I think Top Gun still holds up. I think the action still holds up today. I think the storyline still holds up. That's why we started doing this, Rob. Good choice by you. Good choice. All right, so we have agreed on Top Gun. Let's go through the other movies on the list. So we're off tomorrow. Not off, but we're off from 2 to 6 tomorrow. And then Friday, I'll have another 80s movie that I'll give you a review. But Top Gun, two thumbs up right now. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough with the movies you have for me to like it more than I like Top Gun.
We'll go through these fast group against a break. Back to the Future, Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, Ghostbusters, E.T., Princess Bride, Uncle Buck, Vacation, Weekend at Bernie's, Airplane, Fletch, When Harry Met Sally, Fast Times, Ridgemont High, The Goonies, St. Elmo's Fire, or Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Okay, what movie have we agreed on I need to watch?
I think you need to watch something that's comedy, kind of gets you kind of different than the high action because you'll immediately compare it in your head. So I said Vacation. That was my suggestion.
Okay. All right. Okay. I can watch Vacation. I don't have any issue with Vacation. This is a comedy, I assume?
It is a comedy.
All right, this is a comedy. All right. Vacation. Okay. All right. So Top Gun, Friday, I'll be back with Vacation. We got to take a break here? All right, cool. We take a break. We'll come back. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We gotta get out of here.
Before we go,
someone on the text line asked this question. Hey, if you guys block someone, do they stay blocked forever, or is it just like time out for a kid? You do stay blocked forever. My block rules are very, very simple. I only block people for one of two reasons. You either are racist or homophobic. That's it.
Hold on. You have the rule if you insult coming to America, you also get blocked.
I mean, I've never blocked anybody. I always say I block you for that. I don't really block you for those things. Or if you like purposely spam the text line. You know, sometimes somebody will send the one text like nine times, like, bro, all right, we got it. Like, I understand. And then at that point, like, you just can't use the text line without that person being blocked. But that's it. If you call me a name on the text line, it doesn't bother me at this point. Like, it just doesn't bother me. Those are the only rules. If you're racist or homophobic, I just block you. Like, you've lost the privilege of using the text line. But if you just call me a name, like, all right, whatever. Like, that's life. I just got to deal with it. That's my philosophy on the text line. But no, you do stay blocked forever. Because then at that point, once you get blocked, if I don't know you, I don't know your phone number. So, I mean, I can't then unblock you. I don't have no clue. You just got to unblock everybody then at that point. That's how the block machine works. There's only one NBA game today. There's only one NBA game on tonight. Right, Rob? I'm not crazy, am I? I think there's only one. I think it's the Suns and the Nuggets. I think it's the only one today.
Suns, Nuggets, only one. The MVP taking the floor.
Chris Paul's playing today?
Don't do that.
Asking, is Chris Paul playing? He's the MVP.
He's not the MVP.
He's the most valuable player in the NBA.
Stop this.
Is that what MVP stands for? Most valuable player?
He's not the most valuable. He's not even the best player on his own team.
He's the most valuable player on the team?
That's fair.
They had Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton last year, and they finished 10th in the Western Conference. Now they have Chris Paul. They finished second, and they're going to win the series.
Hey, they hung a banner. Undefeated in the bubble. They didn't actually hang a banner, by the way. You don't have to text line. Don't look into that.
I think Phoenix is winning the NBA championship.
I don't think they're getting out of the West.
I think they're winning the championship. I will say this, for those of you that are not watching the NBA, Utah is the team you would love. If you like basketball, you'd love Utah. Utah plays like Iowa State basketball played in the mid-2010s.
The Hoiberg era.
That's how they play. It's a together brand of basketball. They have a very efficient star in Donovan Mitchell. They've got a great defensive big in Rudy Gobert. Utah is, if you're looking for a team to adopt, Utah's the team. They're fun. I really enjoy watching them play. As much as I hate Paul George, I love watching Utah. I know the answer to this, but I just want to hear you say it. Has Marcus Morris always been this way?
Yes. Marcus Morris
Duquesne
always...
Do KU fans know this? Like, if I say that Marcus Morris is annoying, or KU like, oh, you're a hater. Like, oh, yeah, we get it.
Marcus Morris is, I'm trying to think of an analogy. There's a player on every team that you like where you're like, you know, if that guy wasn't on my team, I'd really hate him. That's Marcus Morris for Kansas fans. Yeah, he's on my team, so I like him. But if he wasn't on my team, I'd hate him. There's that guy on every team.
Someone on the text line asked if they could send phallic photos. You can send as many pictures to the text line as you want. We can't receive any pictures. So you can send as many pictures as that you want. I'll never ever see it. So I don't care what you send in a picture form. Tomorrow, I will not be here. I will be like here, but not on this time slot. Tomorrow, if you want to hear my voice, I will be on the morning. Rob will also be on the morning. Alex Gold will be on the morning. So from 6 to 10, Rob, me, Alex Gold. In the middays, it will be Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, and Jay Binkley. And in afternoons, it will be Ryan Wachowski, Cody Tapp, and Josh Klingler. That is our schedule tomorrow. Tomorrow is 6:10, June 10th. Take care of yourself. I'll catch you guys in the morning. I'm going to sleep in like 35 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.